Amen. Amen. So we're going to hold off on reading for just a second. I want you to think about something. Have you ever experienced this? You're driving in your car, and you see the car in front of you. And as you're watching that car in front of you, he's veering off a little bit. And then he pulls back to the center. And a few seconds later, you continue to watch him, and all of a sudden he veers off to this side just a little bit. And he pulls back to the center. And as he goes on, you see this swerving back and forth. And maybe, have you ever pulled off to the side of the person, and then all of a sudden you see this? You see this person just texting away. He's distracted. He gets distracted by something that's not that important. And it happens all the time. There's things on the internet, those viral videos. I've seen one where this woman is walking in a mall, texting away, just walking through the mall. And all of a sudden she's walking and she trips over one of those fountains. Right? She trips over a fountain and she goes face first into the water. Her phone and everything. Didn't even see it coming. And they have the video of her coming a long distance. It's like maybe 20, 30 yards she's walking, and all of a sudden she doesn't even see it, not even a clue, and all of a sudden, boom, right in, the phone and all. She gets up all soaking wet, walks out. Like somebody just put a fire hose on her or something like that. Distracted. And we have the same problem in our lives too. Not just texting, not just being distracted with technology, but there is that too. But there are so many things that we get distracted from. And when we get distracted, usually there's two things going on. Usually there's one thing that's important and one thing that's of lesser importance. And the thing of lesser importance takes precedence over the thing that's most important, and problems happen after that. So we're going to read, because I kind of see this happening in this part of the Bible that we're going to read today. It's not a new problem. It's just changed its face. We have texting now, but there's still problems. And at first I didn't see this, so give it a second as we read this. Starting in Luke 9, verse 43. And they were amazed at the majesty of God. They were amazed because Jesus just healed someone. Verse 43 again. And they were amazed at the majesty of God, but everyone marveled at all the things which Jesus did. He said to his disciples, "Let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men." But they did not understand this saying, and it was hidden from them, so they did not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying, and we'll stop there for a second. What's going on here? What's going on here is Jesus just performed a miracle. It was fascinating. It was fascinating because the disciples weren't able to do it. A man asked the disciples, "Pray for my son that he might be delivered of the issue that's in his life." The disciples prayed. They couldn't do it. Jesus came. He did it. And everybody marveled at this. And in the middle of all of that marveling, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "I'm about to be betrayed. I'm about to be taken by men into their hands." What he was doing, what he was about to tell them, was he was about to reveal parts of what was going to happen to him, which would eventually lead to his death on the cross. This thing that Jesus was about to tell them is the biggest event ever. His death on the cross is about to change history forever. It still affects us in our day and age. This was massive. Maybe his birth and his second coming are in that same type of category as being so big. And here, he's saying, "Hey guys, I'm about to be betrayed. I'm about to be captured." Who knows what else he would have told. But he's revealing to them just a little piece of something huge, so important, so big. This is the plan. This is what makes our salvation possible. This is why we're sitting here today, because of what Jesus did. And he is about to tell his guys, this is what's gonna happen. This is a big deal. I mean, Jesus went to the cross for our sins. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Jesus raised again from the dead to prove that he had power over life and death. And he's telling his guys, it's going to start. It's going to happen real soon. I'm about to be betrayed. I'm about to be captured by men. It's a big deal. And it's the reason that we're here. It's so big that time of Jesus' life, it's so big that even man has changed the calendar. Every time you say 2013, it's because we separated time because of Jesus. It's so big you can't get away from it, even if you try. It is so big. And Jesus is beginning to tell his men, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. So big, so important. And let's read the next verse. Verse number 46. This is how they respond to such immense news. Just news that is so big, it's going to affect all of eternity. Even Jesus said, all of men, all of the Bible leads up to this, and all the prophets that go before me, they wanted to see this time, and you get to see it. And so he starts to tell them, and this is how they respond. Verse number 46. And then a dispute arose among them about which of them would be the greatest. Really? Jesus is about to tell you the greatest news ever. And they get distracted by themselves. Which of us is the greatest? Jesus is giving them hints of what every prophet wanted to see, what every prophet looked forward to, what every prophet, what all the Bible is pointing towards. Now it's standing in front of Jesus, and Jesus is beginning to tell them, and they say, well, I think I'm greater than you, Peter. Peter says, well, I think I'm greater than you, John. I think I'm the greatest. Can you imagine this discussion? After Jesus just lets them know, is about to tell them something huge, they just get distracted. They just got distracted over something insignificant. And this is what happens in our lives many times. Something that is so insignificant becomes the priority in our lives. Just like texting, just like driving, and you're on the phone and you're swerving all over, you get distracted. When you're doing something that's very important, you get distracted by something that's so not important. And this is what's happening here in their lives. See, salvation, what he's about to do, what Jesus is about to do, is the most important thing if you're not saved. If you have not made Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the most important decision you could ever make. There is nothing more important, period. There is absolutely nothing more important than heaven and hell. Jesus offers this. Jesus went to the cross to die for this. This was his whole mission here on life, so that he could die, so that we could live. Nothing is more important. Not the football game, not your lunch, not what you DVR'd last night. Nothing is important. Not your kids have to go to a game after. Nothing is more important. This is the most important thing. Nothing is more important. And if you've already accepted Jesus as Lord, you could still be distracted by so many things. You could still be distracted by everything in life because our culture now is filled with distractions. It's filled with so many things that we can do and so many things that we could look at and so many things that we can get involved in. None of them are necessarily bad. Some of them might be bad. I'm not saying any of them are bad. I'm saying that if Jesus is not the priority, you are being distracted away from the most important thing. The most important thing is serving Jesus. That's it. Making him Lord. The Bible tells us that we are to believe and be baptized. We are to believe and be baptized. Goes in that order. Believe and then be baptized. Even as Dave said, there's a time when you make this decision for yourself. It's not something that somebody else could make for you. There is a time when you make the decision for yourself. Your parents can pray for you. Your parents could wish for you. They could want. They could push you in the right direction. You make the decision for yourself. That's totally, completely biblical. You make the decision. And there's no other decision if you haven't made Jesus your Lord, there is no other decision that is more important than that. There is nothing that is more important than that. Won't go to heaven because we're good people. I know everybody believes that in America. Everybody believes I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good person. The Bible says nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort. If that's what you rest your hope on, it is a false foundation, according to the Bible, not according to me. According to the Bible, the only thing that saves us is accepting Jesus as Lord, is accepting him as the sacrifice for our sins. It's the only thing that saves us, making him Lord of our lives. That's it. Then we live our life to serve him, and because of that, we become better and better people, hopefully. But not because we're good people do we ever go to heaven. Not because of that at all. The cares of this life often choke the word of God. The cares of this life often choke what's important out of our lives. And sometimes we're distracted and we think we could do both things. We think that we could text while we're driving. We think we could text while we're walking. We think that we could do two things and we could do them effectively. And many times it ends up in disaster. Today, the baptism represents I'm making one choice. I'm making a choice. I'm making a clear choice. I'm choosing a lane and I'm going to drive in it. I'm choosing Jesus and I'm going to drive in it. I'm choosing one way. And I'm declaring to the world, I'm not going to be distracted by all the things around me. I'm choosing. This is what this day represents. It means I'm choosing and I'm telling the world that that's what I'm doing. Isn't it a beautiful thing? And sometimes our distractions become so part of us that we think that all the distractions are normal. We think that being distracted and having so many things on our minds, we think it's normal. It's not normal. Jesus told us the most important things are loving God, loving your neighbor. Those are the two most important things. Everything else should fall underneath all those things. And if they rise above those two greatest commandments, they are distractions. And it's so easy for us in our day and age when there are so many things to pull and compete with our minds and compete with where we give our time and where we give our energy and where we put ourselves. It's so easy to be distracted. And Jesus says, don't be distracted by all of the things. He wants us to be focused on Loving God, loving others. This is the call of Jesus. The two greatest commandments. Baptism is about taking a stand. It's about taking a stand in a world that doesn't necessarily understand it. Taking a stand and saying, yes, I'm committing my life to Jesus because He is worthy. He is worthy of this. It is a decision point. It is a line in the sand. And requiring baptism, as I thought about it, it's such a brilliant thing. It's such a brilliant thing because it's an act before men. Because so often you could come to church for years, maybe even decades, and you could think everything's okay. But Jesus says, no, I want you to take a stand. I want you to do something. I want you to let other people know. Because it's so easy, you could just... And many people do. They come to church for years and years and years, and they never make the decision. They never make the decision to actually do this. And it's so easy to get lost in the crowd. And Jesus says, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. And this is one of my commandments. Repent, be baptized. It's a brilliant thing because if we can't do one of that little thing, how are we going to do something much greater for him? It's a brilliant move. It's a brilliant move so that you, even in yourself, can know, have I satisfied what Christ has requested of me? I think it will be so easy on Judgment Day because Jesus will stand before God and Jesus, and I don't know how it's all gonna play out, but in my mind, I just see it as God's gonna just turn to His Word and say, okay, here's what it said. Did you do it? I don't know if that's how it's gonna go, but I imagine that there'll be something like that. He's not gonna pull out requirements that we never knew. You're gonna say, here it is. Did you do it? Well, here, you've seen it. It was here all your life. It was on your coffee table. It was on your nightstand. It was in your hotel nightstand. It's so simple. And it's so clear if we've obeyed or if we haven't obeyed. Distraction hurts. And distraction could even kill. We've seen commercials. Texting and driving, and we hear the stories, and we could get distracted by the same things, and we could get distracted similar ways, and we could get distracted from what's important, and what's important is making a decision for Christ. If you haven't made that decision, I'm appealing to you today. Make the decision. Make the decision because you have a God that loves you. You have a God that's died for you. You have a God that loves you no matter what you've done in the past. It's almost incomprehensible that no matter what you've done, you can't make God love you less. He's amazing, and He's a faithful God. And those that have served Him for many years, even though we've gone through many difficult things, many of us, probably all of us, we could still say He's a faithful God. You've heard that. You've heard that over and over today. You've heard that over and over today. He's a faithful God, even through difficult things, even through losses, even through suffering, even through sorrow. He is a faithful God. And this is my God. And this is our God. And this is who we've come to serve. This is who we've come to serve. This is who we come to worship. When we sing, we're singing out to God because we understand that He loves us. And because of that, the Bible says He loved us and we love Him. He first loved us, now we loved Him. It's a beautiful plan. A beautiful plan. And I know we're tempted to be distracted by so many things. How many times you're sitting in the car and you hear that little bleep, and you think, well, I could read it. I could read it. I could do this and drive. And you see the notification. And you think, I could do it. I could do it. Something in your mind says, I could do it. I'll get it done. It'll just take me a few seconds. It might be that all-important text. It's going to change your life. I could do it. And this is what our enemy, and we have a real enemy. He wants to distract us. He wants us to be distracted and say, there's a lot of other things that are important. There's a lot of other things that are important. And to that, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Bible says, don't put off until tomorrow. It just says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Don't be distracted. Don't put it off until tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Don't be distracted by other things. Make sure your life, even if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord, make sure that He is the first and foremost in priority. Loving God is number one. Everything else is somewhere beneath all of these things. Love God, love your neighbor. Don't be distracted. Make today the day of your salvation. If you're considering this, I want to pray with you. If you're considering this, it's certainly not too late. We are prepared. We are prepared to take away all your excuses. You have an excuse. I don't have a change of clothes. I don't have this. I don't have that. We have all those. We've taken away all your excuses. We have everything that you can need. You can make the decision today, and you could do it today. You can't blame us because we've prepared for all those excuses. If you want to, it's your choice. If you want to, it's your choice. No one else's. No one else's. If you're considering this and you want to do this, I would like us all to just bow our heads in a sign and a show of unity, and I'll pray a prayer. If you want to be included in the number that will be baptized today, you are encouraged to do so. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I come before you, Lord, and I ask you, Father, that your word would just touch our hearts, that it would touch our hearts, God. And that you would pull people, Lord, that you would draw people, as your word says, draw people to you. Father, and I pray for the courage for those who are struggling, that they would be able to make this decision, God. Lord, today is the day of your salvation, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that the power of your salvation, the power of the gospel, would be present in our lives, God. And that you would do a transforming work, Lord, in the lives of all of those, Lord. And I pray that you would save and that you would make salvation real, Lord. And that you would remove the distractions even from those of us who have made you Lord. That we would be more committed to you. That we would shed the things that do not matter, Lord, and concentrate on the one thing that does matter. I ask you this in the name of Jesus. Amen.